scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians. Actually, the text is given by our denomination. So all the Christian Reformed churches in the United States will be looking at the same text and preaching from the same text. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Although they gave me a short passage, which is about two verses, but I picked the entire passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. Kind of long. It fills my paper. Before reading the Word of God, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today again to listen to your Word and to bring our hearts and mind to you before your presence. But Heavenly Father, sometimes we confess that we can't understand your plans and your wills for our lives. Even when we look at people in Nepal and all the missionaries who are working in Nepal, we don't understand. That's why we have your Word in our hands, by carefully studying, re-examining your Word, we will be able to understand your plans and wills for our lives, even for the world. So we are here today. Would you please enlighten our minds and hearts today so that we will be able to understand, we will be able to discuss with your words and in our minds so that we will find the truth from your Word. As I'm going to deliver your Word to your people, would you please use me as your instrument so that we'll be in your presence today. Thank you so much for your love and care for everybody today, and help us and bless us. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31, that is found in the Pew Bibles, which is the ESV. Page number is 1219. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized in one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of a smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were in a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable, and on the parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. There are maybe no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire of the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the Word of God. Now the question that came to our mind today is, how do you understand our text today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, especially verses 12 through 31 is basically talking about oneness in Christ. That's obvious. Everybody can know that. The story, or we can say metaphor, that we read of Paul shares today with us is very easy to understand. As our body has many parts, but all are connected in one body. And we are, same thing is true, we are members of God's people, and we are spiritually connected to each other. Therefore, Paul's logic is we are one in spirit. And that's what Paul, where Paul leads us today. And that could be my sermon today. Now, however, we should not ignore what Paul was trying to say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the beginning of the part, which is verse 1 through 11. Now, our text, which is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 31, must be read together with the beginning of the 12, which is verse 1 through 11. Now, by reading the first part of the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we know that it's not all about oneness, but we know that there was a division in the Corinthian church. Now, we know that divisions are happening everywhere nowadays. We always say that there is no perfect church. Every church has its own troubles and strugglings and fightings and different opinions, differences. Now, Corinthian church had the same problem when Paul wrote this letter to them. So Paul carefully brought their eyes and hearts, their divided minds, to Christ by telling them different spiritual gifts in the beginning of the chapter 12. By reading other commentaries, I found out that the people at the time, they were arguing that, oh, this is my gift, mine is better than yours. So Paul heard about the bragging, their arrogant in the church. So Paul is saying that difference is not about you, but it's about church. So bring your hearts to not your gift, but to God, to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is driving us today. So most scholars agree that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is all about spiritual gifts. And then including chapter 13 and 14, Paul talks about more spiritual gift in chapter 14 and 13, which is love, is 13. Now, but some people nowadays, even previous generation, pick this particular passage, verse 1 through 11, to explain, only exclusively explain, to explain the different spiritual gifts, to support their ideas. This is my gift, this is your gift. That's how we can find gifts from the text. But we must be careful with that idea, that the concept of only spiritual gifts Paul is talking about in our text. Now, Paul's intention of talking about spiritual gifts in our text to the Corinthians was not only about many different gifts are existed and then described in verse 8 and 9, but Paul wants to remind the Corinthian Christians that spiritual gifts they have, they are spiritually connected because all the gifts they have came from the Holy Spirit. So Paul is talking about the source of their gifts. Especially in verse 11, Paul says, all these are empowered by one. That's obvious. The same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as his will. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 11. So basically, Paul says to them, that's right, you're different. You have different gifts. You have different talents to develop, to strengthen the church. But you are not different. You are not divided into many different sections because all your gifts are not yours, actually, but all your gifts are coming from the Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul is trying to say that you are closely bound together in Christ. So unity is a big challenge for them, for the Christians in Corinth. Why? Like other many first century churches, the majority members of a Corinthian church was Gentiles coming from different backgrounds. They did have different religious experiences, worshipped different gods and different styles. So they were all pagans. So Paul is saying that you were different before, but the power of the gospel brought you to here together before God, before Jesus Christ, and the power of the gospel made you God's children through your faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, although you came from different directions to one place here in front of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's no division. There should be no division in the church. That's Paul's argument. The unity force might be challenged as well for the contemporary Christians. If we were saying that, oh, I'm different, oh, I can, I'm not like you. If we are emphasizing on differences, such as complaints, if we emphasizing differences, we will begin complaining about something, we will argue about something, and we'll begin gossiping about somebody. That's differences. So Paul is bringing their eyes. No, don't do that. If you are talking about different spiritual gifts that you have, church will be divided. But think about the source of your gifts. That is the Holy Spirit. There should be no division. Now the second part of the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is Paul's story, his metaphor. We can say the analogy of the human body. In order to understand, in order to deal with the division in the church actually happening in the Corinthian church, Paul used other analogies in chapter 3 as well. He was talking about feeding infants. Are you still baby? Or no, and grow up. And then watering the church and growing in faith. Different analogies he used. Here in our text, Paul, his metaphor is very powerful and easy to understand, even little tiny children. His analogy in our text is about to teach that all Christians have been actually united in one spirit into the body of Christ. Like living organs and living our body parts are connected into the one body. It's not like Paul is talking about his unity is not about we are sharing same experience or same thoughts, opinions. Not that way. It's much deeper than that relationship. It's more like doing something together. That's why Paul mentions later suffer together and rejoice together. And Paul's unity that he's talking to the 1 Corinthians was actually living together. That requires us to do the same thing. Now, before talking about unity that Paul talks about in our text, we need to remember that Paul is not only talking about unity of the church in our text, but interestingly, he is talking about the differences of the church as well. And although the body has many parts, as we already read, it's one body. Now, his argument is that we have to apply the same principle to the church. Diversity, differences. Diversity is necessary for a church, even our church, a church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll be talking about the meaning of diversity in a minute. But here, church is strongly united, interrelated each other in Christ. When we realize, when we accept, when we embrace, when we accept people's differences, the nature of church, everyone is different. That is what Paul is talking about. Then we will experience true unity and oneness. So without understanding differences, there is no true unity and oneness. True unity and oneness can be fully practiced when we accept each other's differences in the church. I used to think that. Do you know that Dutch is tallest people in the world? When I was in Calvin Seminary, I used to think that I'm one of them. When we took our graduation picture, I found out that I'm really small. I even reached to their shoulder. It's under their shoulder. Differences. When we understand that someone else's differences, when we accept those things, we will experience true oneness and unity in Christ. Now let's think about oneness that Paul talks about, unity of the church. Why? Why is that? Why does Paul emphasize oneness to the church, the Corinthian church? The answer is found in verse 12 and 13. Now first, the church is, Christ is the reason for their unity. Verse 12, for just as the body is one, as has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. So Paul gave them a very clear idea that Christ is the reason for your unity. They are gathering together to worship God and to worship Christ. They used to worship different gods and idols before. That means no unity before. But now they are worshiping one God, one Lord. Therefore, there should be unity in faith. Christ is the unity. And the same Lord Jesus Christ worshiping. Jesus is the center of their faith and even their life. Therefore, must be unity in their life. The second reason is, Paul says, that in baptism in the Spirit, verse 13, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks and slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. The second line, all were made to drink of one Spirit, is very difficult to understand. I'm not going to mention about that one, but theologians are struggling with that verse. But in this verse, in verse 13, Paul rather emphasizes the work of the Spirit in the life of Christians. One of the reasons for their division was to brag about their spiritual gifts and their power that no one has but they have. So Paul corrects their misunderstanding of their gifts. The gifts are not yours, but all the gifts from the Holy Spirit. The same way is true. Paul is saying that faith is the same way. He mentioned that in Ephesians chapter 2 and 8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Even faith is from God, that we have faith that we have from God. So we can brag about it. We can say that I'm better than you are. By presenting these two strong reasons to believe that they are not two or three and many different bodies, but one body in Christ. The Corinthian church was divided, and Paul says in chapter 1, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, which means Peter, in chapter 1. Now his argument is very strong, and chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And we see what Paul is trying to do here. He's reminding them, who is your Lord? Who saved you? Who died for you? That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Then why you are divided into many different sections? True unity and oneness happens when they bring their hearts to Christ and worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. And then Paul's argument is that when they do that, the Holy Spirit will cause them to bring their hearts to the Lord again and again because they are in spirit as well. Obviously, we are, as Christians, we are one in Christ, but we are different as well. Oneness is necessary, but diversity should be recognized in our church. That's Paul's teaching in our text. Now, Paul's teaching in our about unity, it's not about uniform. I don't know if you recognize me or that this is my uniform on Sunday. Always, for 3 years, always wearing blue shirts and my khaki jean, and this is my uniform. And Paul is not teaching the uniform of the church, but unity of the church. To understand the unity of the church, Paul says about diversity. And basically, Paul's idea is diversity is God's, all about God's call. In verse 28 in our text, God has appointed in the church,
not me, not you, not somebody. Apostles and prophets, teachers, miracles, gift of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. The same is true for our church and pastors, elders, deacons, teachers, counselors, group leaders, volunteers to help and provide something in prayer, warriors, and many other calls in the church. It's not our choice. That's a striking moment for them and for a moment for me. And we believe that in Paul's faith is, since God has called them to use that particular gift, God is providing, the Holy Spirit is providing the power, not you. However, in the church, two negative attitudes found in that church. The first one is inferiority, and the second one is superiority in the church. That brings disunity and division in the church. They found in And second part of our text, which is verse 15 through the rest of it. Let's talk about the first negative attitude in the church. Maybe we have the attitude in our church that is inferiority. Now, the verses 15 and 20, Paul talks about it. He uses two parts of the body, which is a foot and ear, that potentially considered less important than other parts of the body. Now, this is Paul's analogy. Foot says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Now, ear says, oh, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Well, similar words, we can always say that because I am not part of this, I am. Now, we should not misunderstand what Paul is trying to say here. His metaphor does not mean that foot and ear are less important than any other part of the body. Now, rather, what he's trying to say is the foot and ear feel inferior or lesser or insignificant. So Paul has found out that church members are feeling that I am lesser and insignificant. So maybe I'm not part of the body of Jesus Christ. Paul said that's wrong. The truth is that maybe we feel the same when we compare ourselves with others in the church, our faith community. We'll feel small and we feel nothing, not important. But we feel we don't have any hope compared to others who are doing really well, no future. And we feel depressed sometimes because we think no one loves us. Or even no one cares for us, then we feel not belonging to here or to New Hope. You know, Paul's argument is, no, not that way. Paul strongly argues with these negative feelings in the church by using the body metaphor. Each body part plays an important role. We need a foot, we need a hand, we need an ear, we need things of our body. Therefore, you are certainly a part of the body. Belonging is not your feeling that you feel that you're not belonging. Belonging is God's calling. Verse 18 says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body. And in each one of them as he chose. But we are here because God called us. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you have many talents or not, it is not your choice. It is not my choice. But you and me, we are called by God to be part of God's family here at New Hope Church, to be united with Christ. Therefore, based on Paul's argument, we should not degrade our value, our being as who we are, because Jesus died on the cross for you and me, and he is our Lord. Now, verses 21 through 26, Paul deals with another group of people in the Corinthian church who feel the superiority. I'm better than you are. Now, but that same rule applies to them. I'm not going to tell the detail. They are not the people who are actually better than others. That's the same rule. But they feel that they are. They have no need. They feel that.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, Paul knew that there were some Christian church members in them who considered themselves very important people who actually run the church depending on their gifts and talents or social status or history of their attending. Paul is saying, no, it's not that. His teaching goes detailed in verse 22 and 23. Weaker are indispensable. That's how God is using us. Less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. Unpresentable are treated with greater modesty in verse 23. And he added more in verse 24 and 26. God, the same rule. God has so composed the body, not you. The same care for one another. Therefore, we have to respect others. We have to care for one another. And Paul says later in the verse, at the end of his teaching, he says, all suffer together, therefore, we all rejoice together. Now, Paul's logic is like this, very simple. Everything started from God. Since God has called you and me to here to New Hope Church, no one is better or less than anyone. We are all God's people. Therefore, since we realize that we are all God's people, we are one in spirit. We're not two. We are one in the Father. We're one in the Spirit. We are one in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul is saying to us today, we have to recognize the importance of our brothers and sisters who are sitting next to us and behind us, in front of us. And we must share the love of God with one another. He'll be talking about in the next chapter, which is Corinthians chapter 13. Because we are the body of Jesus Christ. The Paul's teaching is not only applying to our local congregation, but to all the churches in the world. That's why it comes to our Pentecost Sunday. Churches in the world, we are the body of Jesus Christ. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And then my plan was to read this one together with you, but Karen took my opportunity. She read it all through at the beginning of the worship. So I'm not going to read it, but in this insert, simply we recognize that the Holy Spirit is the one bring us and working in us and sending us, brought them together. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us that we are one, not two, one in the Spirit. We need to remember what Paul says, verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. Do we? When I wrote this passage, I thought about many people. Oh, do you really suffer together? Or we say, okay, I'll pray for you and just forget about our church members. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Do we? How about broadening our thoughts and minds a little bit further? Churches in Nepal, churches in China, churches in Africa or in Indonesia or even in the United States. Do we really believe that we are one in Christ? We are one in the Spirit. If we know that, we should not ignore their need in our prayers and support. What about New Hope Church? Yes, we are different, but we are one. That means we need each other. I need you and you need me. We need each other. Because God has called you. We are part of God's family. We are part of New Hope Church. Therefore, now is the time. Go out. Go to your workplaces, to your neighbor, and share the love of Jesus Christ all together and tell the people that we are one in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending us the Holy Spirit to recognize that we are your people, and all the gifts, all the things that we have are from the Holy Spirit. Would you please help us to understand our text one more time as we are going to read again and meditate on our text during the week. And help us to remember that we are not two or three and four different churches, but one church, one universal church, and a Spirit. We pray, your Son, in Jesus Christ. Amen.